Hey, it's Jim Costa with Cash the Ticket. Mike Valeni and I are all over the tournament again this March. Breakdowns of every region and every game, who are the Cinderellas, and which team's cutting down the nets. Subscribe and listen to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app, wherever you get your podcasts.
It's Jeremy White and Joe DiBiase.
You've gone to the movie theater to get takeout?
This is another thing that people
Hold on. People do this.
What?
Yes. Why? Because of the butter?
Because it's movie theater popcorn.
But you could get movie theater popcorn in the grocery store.
Grocery store popcorn.
Popcorn is not different enough that it's worth going in and getting movie theater popcorn.
It certainly is. You're not living until you're going into the movie theater, getting popcorn, and going home. Why do you think they sell it before you have to go into the theater? Why do they sell it where the general public can just walk in and buy treats? Why is it there
That's a coincidence. They didn't put that out there.
Is that true? If that's a coincidence, where do I buy food at a Sabres game?
After the
ticketed portion. Where do I buy food at the airport? After the ticketed portion.
You're listening to Jeremy and Joe on Western New York Sports Giant, WGR Sports Radio 550.
All right, good morning. It's Jeremy and Joe. We were just talking in the break about the break. Is it a break if we haven't started yet?
The preamble. It's a preamble.
The preamble, yeah. I listen to the Lebatard show a lot. When they'll put the mic on sometimes, the producer will put the mic on.
If they're talking about something good.
Yeah, and they call it the shadow show.
Yeah, it's just like...
It's basically our shadow show.
These guys are talking about something funny, but they're not talking about it. I better grab this.
This wasn't funny, though.
No.
I don't think.
No.
Just that these aggregator accounts, you got to get them under control. I saw one recently about... It was a follow-up on the Bills and Diggs, and it just wasn't real at all. But it was enough that I went looking for it. Like, did somebody report this? I couldn't find anything. So you told me that there was a Bills cornerback trade one that's out there right now?
So this morning, you know, I'm sure you guys get this. You know, I have to try to wake up around like 4:30. Like I have to set the alarm for 4:30, so I give myself a half hour to just rot. And what I do is immediately I try to get some screen time because I got to get the eyes associated with, you know, life itself. So I'm just like looking through and I see a tweet, you know, Bill's new corner, Jamel Dean. And I'm like,
that's not right. He's not.
Yeah. I'm like, from the Bucks? So then I Google search Jamel Dean and top stories. Tampa Bay Buccaneers may trade cornerback Jamel Dean. And the five or so articles is Buffalo eyes potential game-changing trade for Jamel Dean. Surprise, Bills trade proposal for Buccaneers starting cornerback. Bills eye Jamel Dean. And then I look over, I'm on Google right now. You look at Jamel Dean's overview, which is, I assume, Wikipedia's. Right, I don't know for sure if that overview of a person is just information being pulled from Wikipedia.
This is when you Google something.
It says
like
Wikipedia.
Okay, a lot of times it's just like the Google AI now that will be the first thing that pops
up. In his overview, it says Jamel Dean is an American professional football cornerback for the 2025 Buffalo Bills. He was traded to the Buffalo Bills for a 2026 fifth round pick.
But that did not happen.
I don't believe
so. No, it did not happen.
Unless it happened. It just didn't happen. Yeah. So.
Didn't
happen. Although I looked at it and I was like.
No, because even.
I would do that trade.
It's funny. You search it. It's just Wikipedia.
Yeah.
You know,
it's Wikipedia.
We haven't had a good Wikipedia
scandal
where everybody can just, you know, write whatever they want on there. Because I don't know what's going on down at the at Wikipedia HQ, but once upon a time, yeah, you could get away with that. It felt like they have enough people working there now where if somebody changes something that is obviously false, that it will be corrected immediately. And I don't know, maybe in this instance it's not. I guess someone's playing around with Jamel Dean's Wikipedia because I'm also seeing a tweet that his Wikipedia got changed to, he got traded to the Steelers. Overnight. So he's being traded all over the place.
Good for him.
He is somebody that, you know, there have been trade articles about in Tampa, whether they would move him out. So
I would be interested in him, having said this.
Yeah.
28 years old. Like, the Bills need a starting corner. And I'm not sure.
The Bills need a starting corner.
The Bills need a starting corner. Like, I would say this. Brandon Bean rarely goes into the draft with a hole that he intends to fill with a draft pick. Like, a hole that is so glaring. And outside of corner, I don't know that there's a position on the team where you're like, they don't have a guy right now. They don't have a guy. I know Joe Marino's quote I thought was perfect when talking about the Dane Jackson acquisition, is they established their floor at the position. At worst, you feel like Dane Jackson can give you...
Serviceable replacement level.
I want to compare this to a backup quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
Who would Dane Jackson represent as a backup quarterback in the league?
Andy Dalton.
Mitch Trubisky?
You don't think he's as good as Andy Dalton for this? Yeah, I guess I could listen to, yeah, Trubisky, sure.
Right? Like, okay. He's no one's plan A.
No.
He's most people's probably not plan B.
Last year he was Carolina's plan A, and it went poorly. It went really
bad.
They
were a bad defense.
They were, yeah.
Some have said that he got J.C. Horn paid. So some have said that.
Who said that?
Nobody. but I think like a trade of that caliber, I just wonder, there's not really any smoke around Asante Samuel. The fact that Asante Samuel is still a free agent on the 25th of March, I'm not sure if it's a... Like, is it a judgment of him as a player? Is he not a coveted player?
I don't know.
Former first rounder, or was he? Did he leak into the second round? I thought he was an end of first round pick.
He was. I don't remember.
But he could have been like top of the second. Yeah,
he's been a starter. He's been good. He's been a very good coverage corner.
He's not. He's maybe more of a true slot than he is a true boundary receiver, and maybe that, from a fit perspective, the Bills really don't view him as a boundary guy.
Yeah.
But like. He is, head above heels, the best player available at a position the Bills desperately need. And, like, unless the Bills are of the mind, it's like, hey, we checked him with Samuel. They're going to wait till June to make a decision. They're going to wait till after the draft until things. And you mentioned yesterday, and it kind of stuck with me, which was, like, the A.J. Brown trade happened during the draft.
Yeah.
And nobody thought A.J. Brown was getting traded leading up to the draft. You know, if the Patriots, or how about this, if the Browns end up taking Travis Hunter. Maybe that makes Denzel Ward or, a player like that. One of these top teams get Will Johnson. And, you know, that loosens up a veteran starter that has 1 year remaining on a contract. That's where the Bills can use one of their 11 picks to maybe swoop in and do that. I think, to me, I would be concerned about waiting until the draft. Unless their thought was... Dane Jackson, at worst, is our Band-Aid. If we go to the draft and all we end up with is a first-round or second-round rookie, I'm going to feel weird about them.
Well, don't you think,
doing that,
don't you think that is... It's so similar to what they've been in the past. It really... They never got to see the corner combo that they really wanted.
Which was...
They wanted... When they drafted Kyer Elam...
Elam and
they would have thought at some point Tre'Davious White is coming back, right? He's going through rehab at that point in time, and he wasn't on the field, but he was still on the team. He was still under contract. He was an all-pro before he got hurt, and they probably were wanting to have, within a year, a healthy Tre'Davious White. Think of like going into Elam's second year. They would have wanted a healthy Tre'Davious White. Playing at a top level with another awesome corner, talented on the other side, man coverage, speed combo, right? And they never really got either going. Trey White gets hurt again, and Elam never becomes anything. And here comes Benford. So I don't know that they ever got to see what they really wanted at corner. They've always kind of had to plug and play. Dane Jackson, like this would be... an interesting experiment to go back and find out how many of his starts, because he started, 28 games for the Bills over 4 years. How many of those were planned on versus how many of them were, oh, you're filling in. You're playing because a guy is injured.
The Bills,
maybe a lot of them were Tre'Davious White related.
I would tell you the Bills have done a great job of having very plausible plan Bs. Mm-hmm. Their plan A's defensively really have not come to fruition, or it's been very small windows. Von Miller, right? I mean, that was such a, it was an 8-game sample that you really got out of Von Miller, which sucks, like in hindsight, because the 8 games were electric, and it just never was the same after the injury. And then the suspension and everything else that went with it, right? And Trey White, right? They extend Trey White, and the idea is now you've got a first-round pick and a second contract Trey White. Mm-hmm. Never came to fruition. They got, listen, 3 years ago, the idea was Von, Trey White, Hyde, Poyer, Milano,
yeah,
and Kyrie Elam.
And even Edmonds stuff.
Edmonds.
Right on his last year.
They get one snap together as a group?
No, I don't think so, because doesn't Von go out like once Trey comes back? Wasn't the thing that those two hadn't really played together?
I think you want to pull Edmonds out of that conversation, and I think you want to look at like the all
pro guys.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They just never came to fruition.
No, it never did. So to circle back on corner then, I'm into a big idea at corner. It would be kind of an interesting fit, though, because they're about to pay Benford. And you might think, well, if we're about to give Benford $20 to $25 million a year, and I think they're still going to do that, then it makes more sense to combine that with a rookie contract than it would. Jair Alexander hasn't been traded yet. That was a report from before free agency he was being shopped. And he has a lot of injury problems, but he's kind of like Joey Bosa in a way. Maybe he's actually missed more games, but
he's younger.
He even is a little bit younger by a year or two.
Okay, not that much younger.
But it's, all right, we got to worry about injuries, but the guy is a stud, right? Alexander is a guy who was a second team All-Pro 2 years ago, but he's played 14 games in the last two seasons.
He has. And that's an interesting, like, that's a name that I'm semi-interested in the closer we get to the draft. Because for me, you need to find a player, and this is another Joe Marino quote that I'll throw out there, is you need to find a cost-effective cohort to Christian Benford, assuming Benford's going to get the contract. I'm here to tell you that I think Benford probably doesn't get paid this offseason. It's looking more and more like that. Now, it could happen. I wouldn't be surprised if it happened before the season. I think at this point, the car's in the garage a little bit in terms of like the extensions that have been given out. And I think they're set to go into the season with Benford and James Cook as guys that are going to play on their fourth year without extensions. Mm-hmm. And I would think that of the two, that Benford's very clearly in this team's future. Like, he's in their plans. The question is, while he's still on this rookie deal, which is one more year, can you take advantage of that with a Jair Alexander? And would that make sense for you? Because he's got this year and next year. It's a $27 million cap hit next year. He's got one void year. But what contract you'd be acquiring kind of matters in all of that conversation. But like Alexander, Jamel Dean, like I feel like there's a list you could start to compile across the league of like, who are some veteran corners that have been tied to a trade, and could you make, right now, the Bills could make the money work. I don't know if they could make it work today if they could just acquire him and be over the cap. I'm pretty sure that's not, once the league year starts, you can't do that.
Right.
You need to have the space. You have the effective space. So, you know, the Bills, I don't even know what their effective cap number is today. Because the contracts that came out are, the cap hits are so low, I'm sure they've got some room, and then they know you can, there's levers they can pull.
Yeah. We'll talk more about that, by the way. We'll have Greg Thompson coming up at 8 o'clock today, and we can
picture
ask him
perfect.
About perfect, yeah, on the cap stuff, and what he had the details on the Bosa contract, right, the other day, which, by the way, that's a weird one. It's crazy. This is where the cap is. Four void years, I think. You could put the money wherever you want in the NFL because his cap hit in year two was higher than his cap hit in year one, and it's a one-year deal. Which is wild. So we'll talk with him about this. Yeah, like what is their effective number right now? So that trade idea is out there. But as we're now within a month from the draft, like corner is going to happen. It might not in round one. But to me, like I ran that poll yesterday about like what's the position you could live without. And not many people were saying corner. Like they're going to draft a corner. Unless, again, like if they trade for Jamel Dean or for Jair Alexander,
I still think
then maybe you think there's still you still think there's a young body somewhere.
I think regardless of whether they go out and acquire a starting caliber corner before the draft,
yeah,
that the future at that position should probably be taken in the first three picks, because okay. I think the first three picks will feature guys that could all start in the league.
Yeah, but so more likely than not, they're taking a corner. And
yeah, I would think so.
Is it not a big draft for Bean? Not yes. Even just like every draft is big, right? But
yep.
Is it not a pivotal draft
totally.
For him specifically? Because, you know, here we are. It's March 25th. So we got again, just under a month until round one of the draft. We got a lot of time to decipher what we want from the Bills. I haven't really established the guy I want yet. Like, last year around this time, I narrowed, like, Brian Thomas Jr. Like, started locking in on certain individuals. A little easier to do that, I think, a wide receiver than when their biggest needs are defense. You know, more fans, I feel like, are more... Receiver, everyone's got their guy, right?
Yeah, that's right.
When it's corner or defensive tackle, it's more like, hey, that guy sounds good. Or that sounds good. Just anything. Anything at the position sounds like, yeah, I'll take it. I'm fine with that. And corner is going to be one of those where any corner they would draft in the first two rounds, I feel like most people are going to be like, okay, fine.
Yes.
But for Bean, hitting on that pick, which we won't know about till the season at least, hitting on that pick is it's pivotal for him in how he's viewed as a drafter, I think. Because I think Bean's one of the better GMs in the league.
Me too.
No doubt.
Yep, me too.
But what is Bean great at? What is Bean seen as being great at?
Building.
Building.
Team building.
Yeah. I would say he has an incredible sense of the cap.
Yes.
That's kind of his background, isn't
yep.
it? Was dealing with the cap and, you know, getting all that cleaned up. So I feel like his work as kind of a capologist is one of the things he gets a lot of credit for. I would say his willingness and ability to pull off big trades
yep.
and big signings. He is not gun shy at all, right? And
he definitely,
man, is that a breath of fresh air for the other team?
He also operates. Downtown. He operates as if he has the resources to do whatever it takes.
Mm-hmm.
I would say,
yeah,
for the most part,
not all the time, but a lot. Like he trades he gets Von Miller in the
calculated.
Door, and yeah,
he's not. I would say he's aggressive, not reckless.
Yeah. But aggressive.
Yes.
And he does pull these trades off a lot.
Somewhere between, like, he's not Howie Roseman, but he's more than...
Yeah.
I don't know. Who's...
Roseman, well, you're saying he's better than what?
Like, no. Like, I'm saying Roseman is your standard. He's yeah. He's the standard bearer. Like, he's the guy that
yeah.
is everything. Cap, aggressive... Has yep. won Super Bowls. Like, he's the one. Like,
yes.
It's him, and then, like, that list starts, and Brandon Bean's probably somewhere in that, you know, 3, 4, 5 range.
I will just, again, point out, though, that Howie Roseman is playing from the front tees compared to everybody
no
else.
No doubt.
Because his owner is willing to front load all the cash in the world.
But
you're right. Roseman's good.
He's
and
also,
he's a good drafter.
He's a good drafter, but he's also values draft picks and finds ways to acquire draft picks better than anybody that in the
yep.
league. He has given themselves more lottery tickets.
Yeah.
And he's also willing to take chances on guys that the rest of the... And for whatever reason, he really loves Georgia players. I mean, his
yeah.
entire defense is basically Georgia.
So, like, Roseman, I just said it there. Like, he's a great drafter.
Yeah.
Roseman's a great drafter. Is Bean a great drafter?
I would say he's
Simply
probably
put,
middle
is,
of the road.
Is Bean a great drafter?
I think he's
think
middle,
he's more
of, the
middle
road.
Of the road?
I would say it's probably his weak link right now.
Mm-hmm. He's got... I mean, because he... He's got the one big glaring miss right now, which is the Elam pick.
Mm-hmm.
And I
Boogie
don't know. Like,
Basham is also a pretty big miss.
I wonder what kind of, again, like pivotal in what way? I called it pivotal. He's not getting fired.
Nope.
Nor does anybody want to see him fired. But it is, if he has a draft here where there isn't much rookie production from it, or there's another miss seemingly at the top of the draft, and it looks like that could be true after 1 year, then that noise might get louder and louder. Versus it's why I feel like he's kind of on the fence. There have been enough hits where if he smashes on one pick here at like 30 overall, then it could very quickly turn to, oh no, he's a great drafter. Because there are hits and there are misses. I don't even, there's a miss. Are there misses? Because they get, it's weird that they kind of end up this way. They get a lot of good players. This is their roster right now. They get a lot of good players. Ed Oliver at 9 overall. Yep. He's a good player.
James Cook's a good player. Greg Rousseau's a good player.
Especially in the first round.
Terrell Bernard's a good player.
Rousseau is a good player.
Yeah.
But especially with these first round picks, how often are you landing the great players? It's almost weird. Is it weird, or is this kind of how the league can work? That they're getting more of their great players with the lottery ticket day 3 picks.
Yeah.
Right? Even going back way long ago now. Taron Johnson, who are their best players right now? I mean, Benford is one of them.
Benford, Johnson.
He was a 6th-round pick. Benford was a 4th-round pick.
Deion Dawkins.
Milano was this, and he was a 5th-round pick.
Yep, Deion Dawkins.
Dawkins at least is a little higher. He was
Spencer
a 2nd.
Brown.
And that's before Bean. Brown is a little better, but even that's the third round. Like, their best players aren't their guys they drafted in the first round. And some of that's the last two guys, too. Coleman is the first pick of round 2, but I'll count him for this, and Kincaid, right? And that is maybe where it feels like, yeah, he's not all the way there as a drafter for people, because the last two guys they picked with their first picks, you know, Kincaid's kind of lost right now, it feels like.
Yep.
And Coleman, I don't know, wasn't terrible, wasn't great. There were times where it looked good, really good. He was awesome in Seattle, but kind of disappeared down the stretch. So I don't know. I don't know where people reside on that. Is Bean a great drafter? And is this a draft where, you know, it's kind of going to decide for many, because we're in the middle here on some hits, some misses. If he has a great draft, then maybe the common sentiment will be that he is a great drafter. And if he has a bad draft and we get a season coming up without much rookie production, then maybe it goes the other way. 803-0550 is the phone number if you've got a thought on that. Or, you know, you got a corner name out there. So Jamel Dean, not a Bill. Not a Bill. Not a Steeler. So
He's just where he's been.
His Wikipedia page is all over the place on that, though.
All right, back on One Bills Live. Chris Brown, Matty Glab with you. And talking a little AFC East today. There's a Stephon Diggs signing. Change your opinion on maybe moving the Patriots up the threat list in the AFC East for 2025. 803-0550, 1-888-550-2550, the number to get on board. But let's go to Eric in Amherst next. What do you got for us, Eric? You're on One Bills Live.
Hi, Chris. I'm Eddie. Quick question. I don't know what his status is. I know he got waived by the Broncos last season. Mm-hmm. Is it possible the Bills may bring back Levi Wallace? Depth that nobody's Benford.
Yeah, it's interesting. I would lean towards no. Here's why. Number one, I think they already signed who they saw as a depth piece in Dane Jackson. Could you sign another one? Sure. It was really interesting season for Levi because he was on the Broncos roster. Then on Christmas Eve, they waive him. He had been a healthy and active the previous two games. Then they waive him with the thought of, if he clears waivers, we'll put him on our practice squad. Mm-hmm. So he clears waivers, which means nobody claimed him that could across the entire league. They go to sign him to the practice squad, and Levi goes, yeah, no, not interested.
Mm-hmm.
And now he's a free agent, and he's sitting out there. To me, I think at this stage of his career, coupled with the fact that I believe the Bills are going to play more man coverage, we saw that the second half of the season last year. I think that will continue this year, although there were some extenuating circumstances as to why they played as much man coverage as they did. Their pass rush wasn't consistent enough. They had to blitz more, so that leads to more man coverage calls. I think man coverage is going to be a more popular thing league-wide, and I think the Bills, who like to stay on the cusp of the cutting edge, will subscribe to that as well. And I don't think Levi has the skill set to do that. I don't think he had it at the beginning of his career. It didn't matter as much here in Buffalo because this was largely a zone coverage defense. And now at age 29, I think it's even harder for him. Those are the reasons why I don't see Levi back in a Bills uniform, but I could be wrong.
I think if they were interested in Wallace, they would have gone after him already. And like you say, I think them signing Dane Jackson to the roster kind of kiboshes the thought of bringing Levi Wallace to the roster. I don't see them bringing two players back who used to be on this roster to compete for one spot. That's just my sense, but who knows? We'll see what happens. Yeah, see what happens in the draft, too.
That's a guy.
You never know.
That's a guy you can conceivably still get in May or June.
True.
Because he's probably still going to be out there. So maybe from that standpoint, let's just say hypothetically, the Bills don't come out with as much. Maybe they wanted to draft two corners and they only landed one. You could do a lot worse than Levi Wallace.
Definitely.
So maybe he gets into camp with the team that way as a May or a June signing. That I could see. But right now, I don't think so. Let's go to Bill in Kenmore next. What's up, Bill?
Thanks for taking the call. A couple things. Jordan Phillips, everybody looks for a big defensive tackle. He's 6'6", 340. And I remember that game against the Rams a couple years ago where he did a 360 and teleported on top of Stafford before they knew what happened. And it seems to be kind of a guy that would do this. They say he's not much of a run stuffer, but what's the deal with him that he's not better than you think he should be? And also with Sonny Samuel, I guess he's kind of small, 5'10", 178, but he's fast. And I guess the concern about injury or maybe tackling, but those two guys particularly, I just was wondering what your opinions were of those guys.
Yeah, that's fair, Bill. Jordan Phillips has had three go-rounds with the Bills. I think the Bills would bring him back if he agreed to play at the veteran minimum. I think they'd bring him into camp and see if he's good enough to still make the roster. I think he's 30 now, right?
Maybe 32.
32. Oh, he's even older than I thought. And you're already got a guy that's long on the tooth in Daquan Jones who starts. I think they feel they need to get younger on the defensive interior. I think that's the main rub there. I believe if he wants to play for the veteran minimum, they would consider it. I don't believe he wants to play for the veteran minimum. And we also heard him say at the end of this past season, if I continue in my playing career, I'm only going to play for the Bills. He likes playing here mm-hmm. better than anywhere in the league, and he's been in a few stops. Miami, Dallas, Arizona. He likes it here the best. So knowing the Bills know that, because he's upfront about it, so there's no hurry to sign him. Again, if they come out of this draft without a couple of defensive tackles, I think this is another guy you could see as a May or June signing. Because realistically, they have no competition for his services because he says he only wants to play here.
Mm-hmm. I'm sure the scouting department has a list of names of free agents who are currently available and a list of free agents who they think will stay available through mm-hmm. May and address that list if they see that they need to fill some other spots after yeah. the NFL draft.
And then as for Asante Samuel Jr., yes, he is still out there as a free agent. I think the problem for him is he believes his market value is higher than what teams are willing to pay for him. I think what's hurting him is his size, to your point, because I think some teams may only see him as a slot corner, not a guy that can line up outside. And I think the other thing working against him is he didn't have a great season last year in terms of personal play. And so I think his agent is probably convincing him at this point in time, you're going to just have to sign a one-year deal this year, knock it out of the park, have a good season, and then get back in the free agent market next year and hope you can sign a bigger and longer-term contract. Are the Bills interested in that? Maybe. I think we do know, to our caller's point, that outside corners have to be strong in run support for this defense to function properly. And at 180 pounds, he's got to demonstrate that. And if he hasn't convinced the Bills on film, they're probably looking elsewhere. But we don't know what they're thinking. We'll see. Maybe he's a one-year contract option. Again, if he's still out there post-draft, I think it becomes a more viable option if the Bills don't get enough opportunities to refortify the position in the draft. Let's go to Steve in Syracuse next. What's up, Steve?
I'd like to know, what do you think about, as far as the draft is concerned, I like that safety from South Carolina. If you can get him along with Well, you're going to have to take a couple rounds, but you're going to get him a couple defensive tackles and an edge rusher. You got to make the draft. I wouldn't worry about corners till later in the draft. Not that late, but you can get corners later on, and even a wideout maybe. But I got to concentrate defense all the way. And one other question is, as far as the free agency is concerned, what do you see immediately within the next few days or a week or so of them really picking somebody up out of free agency to get their eye on?
Yeah, hard to say, Steve. We don't have the crystal ball. And, you know, negotiations with the way they work, you know, we know they were last looking at a veteran defensive tackle, reportedly, Leki Fotu, who ultimately signed with the Raiders the other day. So they're still looking at that position. And they are thin at corner. I don't think there's any debate about that, because you've got Jamarcus Ingram, Christian Benford, Taron Johnson, and Dane Jackson under contract. You got a couple of guys on the reserve future free agent signings as well, you know, like a Tecori Couch, players like that. So if you can get a corner here on a one-year deal, a veteran player, I think that's an option. Defensive tackle, a player on a one-year deal, that's an option, because numbers-wise, you are light at those two positions. That would be my guess in terms of a potential free agent signing before the draft.
And then just thinking about the NFL calendar over the next couple weeks, the owners' meetings are coming up in the next few days. So you have all the GMs are going to be together in Florida. Maybe something comes out of that, not just saying for Buffalo, but for other teams. And then teams kind of start to turn their attention after that really to the NFL draft, because soon enough, the 30 visits are going to start. Yep. So you're going to have these prospects in the building. Scouts and coaches are going to get to see him in an element of this is what he would be like in a Bills facility. Let's see how he meshes with the people that we have inside of this building. So I don't know how much more we're going to see before the NFL draft, because it is quickly approaching.
And Steve mentioned Nick Emanwori, who's going to be one of the first safeties off the board, maybe the very first. He has all the physical traits that you want. And in this era of position flex being coveted, he fills the bill. And with where the league is going defensively with big nickel and three safety sub packages, he's your perfect tonic if you have a vacancy at the position. So I think he's going to probably be a top 25 pick. So Emanwori, you may have to move up to get.
Yeah.
It'll depend how the board falls. Nobody can predict it. But he certainly is, at least in my eyes at the college level, a proven commodity. And I think he's a guy that can, you know, be a box safety for you, can also be a hybrid-type linebacker in a sub-package, and is stout enough to support the run at 6'3", 220 pounds. So, and he tested well at the combine on top of that. So he's a player that's probably going to go pretty early, and sadly, I think it'll be before pick 30. So you may have to move to get him. And it's going to be an interesting decision to weigh, and we'll get to this a little bit more in our final segment, Maddie, because if the Bills are on the clock and you have a chance to get one of the best corners in the class, and Emanwori is also still on the board, who provides you more value? Emanwori, who can play a number of different roles in your defense, or a corner that you know you can start on day one on the outside opposite Benford and off you go?
Yeah.
What is more valuable? That, to me, that's a tough question to answer.
When I watch Hairston's tape, he's a guy that not only can cover in man-to-man situations, but he's willing to go hit you. And, I mean, that's something that you don't see a lot. And I know the Bills are big on their corners being able to tackle. And I think that's important. And he does it. He's willing to do it. And you can see here, that's closing speed, makeup speed. And all corners have to have that. He plays with a swagger. He plays with an attitude. And I think he'd be a nice addition to their team.
Veteran NFL analyst on One Bills Live today. Mike Shope here at Roswell Park with Sal Capaccio. I can get you right through to Sal. 803-0550 is the number. The Ride for Roswell kickoff event today starting at, I believe, 5 here in the Gaylord Gary conference room. Source tells me not a ballroom.
Not a ballroom.
I don't know ballroom specs? Do you have to be a certain square footage to be to qualify? I don't know. I don't know that much.
I know
sports. Some would beg to differ.
I think we could get up here and cha-cha and turn this into a ballroom, but not today. But because we're doing the Ride for Roswell, but it could be a ballroom.
It's one speaker away from becoming a ballroom.
Maybe that's it. Yes.
Pete Prisco talking about Kentucky cornerback Maxwell Hairston. Sal and I were talking during the break, and you were saying, like, I'm not all the way there on, like, the names of the guys yet in the Bills' range. This is one that, you know, you're going to hear a lot about, I think, Hairston. And corner, I'm hearing your voice tell me, like, remember, they still really don't have an obvious one anyway, starting cornerback. So is it Maxwell Hairston? Is it Amos, another one from Ole Miss? Those are, I think, the names. Not going to be Travis Hunter.
No, and I think when you look at a guy like Will Johnson of Michigan, way too high, obviously. If he starts to fall, is there someone Brandon Bean has traded up, right? Will Johnson. Jadai Barron. Are these guys with Barron? I believe he's more of a slot guy. But a guy like Will Johnson, let's say, if he starts to fall a little bit. You just talked about Maxwell Hairston. Maybe he's available at 30. Does he make a move like he has two of the last 3 years? Kyer Elam, Dalton Kincaid. And actually, he moved last year, but the other way. Went down and ultimately drafted Keon Coleman. But we know that Brandon Bean is willing to trade up if there's a guy there that he likes. And I think that's the kind of position this year that maybe they would do it for.
You know, we should talk about that, too. I did some on this yesterday because I guess One Bills Live did why trade up, or not why, but what about it is why you would do it. It was sort of like slanted toward what are your reasons for wanting them to trade up if that's how you feel. And, I mean, I'm just militant about it. Never do it. Quarterback, maybe. Only exception. Never do it. You know, with respect to Bean, Elam and Kincaid were both moving up two spots and giving up a fourth-round pick to do it. Mm-hmm. You've had that chart where they only have made three fourth-round picks since
2018. It really is amazing, yeah.
So, I don't know, like, to me that's not good math. But, you know, it's not real life, but in fantasy, you know, you sort of, it gets close and you get excited about a player and you just don't want to risk it. I'm moving up two spots. Maybe there's some intel. It was Dallas with Kincaid, that they thought maybe Dallas was going to take him. They jumped over Dallas to take Kincaid. And maybe that's right. Maybe they should just let that happen and draft Laporta or whoever. Like, I don't know. I'd rather have the fourth-round pick than move the two. It's been both. James Cook was trading down twice in the second round, and they got a sixth each time to do that. And I would guess, maybe you know this or different, that they wanted Cook and they thought that was going to be attainable even by moving down twice.
That was the year that they lost out on J.D. McKissick, and they were looking for a back with that skill set. So I wouldn't doubt that they were looking, that they really liked James Cook for that. Now, granted, he wasn't as great of a receiver in his first couple years, but you know, he's obviously turned out into a good all-around back, but that was that year that happened, if you remember. If you remember back to the Kyer Elam year, Mike, one of the things that happened was the Chiefs traded up. Excuse me, the Chiefs traded up for Trent McDuffie.
McDuffie, right?
And I wonder. I mean, yes, it's all anecdotal, and it's all. I mean, you could do this, spin yourself in 100 different ways. But what if the Bills had traded up for McDuffie? And right, and instead of Kyer Elam, because I think I really believe they really like Trent McDuffie, and they wanted him. But the Chiefs traded up first. They got him. So now you get in a position where, well, we really need to take a corner here. Who's next on our board? You go up and get Elam. But if they trade up and get McDuffie, maybe it's a different conversation.
You know, I'm going to say something that I don't think anybody has ever said. And it's going to be, I'm glad you're sitting down because it's going to be controversial. I'm sick of the Chiefs.
Yeah.
I'm sick of the Chiefs. I mean, okay, so are we Charlie Brown and the football, and they're Lucy or something like this. So that McDuffie point, that it's worthy. Oh, sure, you know, whatever. It's good math. We'll trade out, and it's worthy. This year, I did this yesterday, looking at the work of Pro Football Network. Bills 30, Chiefs 31 in the first round, and their top need is defensive tackle. So get ready. Get your boots on. If you want Kenneth Grant, or, you know, Walter Nolan or one of these guys, and there's some thirst for defensive tackles, which there is. Philadelphia also at 32. Like, there's a handful of teams in that bottom, say, quarter of the first round that are like, kind of, it makes sense. And the position is rich this year. You might have to figure out an end around on Kansas City again. I mean, that hasn't really worked out yet. It hasn't happened yet. But anyway, it's just to say that, like, the Chiefs are your competition again. You pick in front of them, but that's for now.
Because they've already shown that they'll be willing to move up. And if they are just in the same position, that could happen again. The Bills have three picks in the top 62. They have two second-rounders. I would be stunned, as I sit here today, if more than one went to the offensive side. I think it's either three defense, no offense, or two defense, one offense. And that's, even then, I mean, you could make an argument, it should be all three defense. I remember, I'm thinking back to what Brandon Bean said on Ryan Fitzpatrick's podcast last week with Andrew Whitworth as well, and he said, right out, as of right now, we're probably focused going to have more picks on defense. But in those first three picks, I think you're looking defense. It's defensive tackle and it's corner, I think, easily in with it two of the first three picks.
It's not saying much. I'd like to have a third. The third is kind of a fun leverage round where, you know, you've got day three is more just like, let's fill the roster together. But you still have some premium players, second round, third round, and then, you know, you want to move around a little bit. A third would be nice. You can do it with two fourths or a fourth and a fifth. Maybe the Bills do something like that. There's been plenty of that, as you know, over the years, or by moving out of round two.
Right. Would you rather them move down from round two to get in back to round three?
Yes.
Or move up one of the – you have two fourths and three fifths.
I know. I want to use them all. I'm always down. You don't have to ask me. My answer is always down.
I get it. But they have 10 picks. Picking 10, I know, more dart throws, right? No
yes.
doubt. No doubt. More
yes.
dart throws.
Yes.
But it's also more guys that aren't going to make your roster probably that you're taking that, you know, you might wind up just saying it was a kind of a wasted pick because somebody else can take them when you waive them.
I don't think that's a wasted pick. I wouldn't measure it by, like, how many make the team. You know, we've had this conversation. The bad teams have the – say they have 10 – say New England has 10 picks. More of them are going to make it because they have more needs. Doesn't mean the players are better.
Agreed.
It just means, like, we have to you know, rebuild, right? So, yeah, I'd rather just have – the Bills have shown to have a propensity. Like, they can identify the talent. I can coach this guy, you know – even in the late rounds, they've had it at receiver. They've had it in Benford's case. Like, they've had that. Just give me the more shots at it. And if that means five players don't make the roster, I don't think that's a loss.
What's funny to me is last year, I don't remember how many they had going into the draft last year, but they came out with 10.
Yeah.
They picked 10 guys last year. Now, it was a bit of a reset last year because they got rid of a bunch of guys, veterans on the roster. We know Micah, Jordan, Tre'Davious White, those guys, Saran Neal, Mitch Morse. So maybe they're in a different position. But I remember thinking last year, if you would have said to me, over or under the Bills picking 9 guys, I would have said under. They're not going to pick 10 guys. They did. They picked 10 last year. So who knows? Maybe they do it again this year.
But I probably did ask you that.
Yeah, the roster is a little bit younger now, so I don't know if there's quite as much room to do that for some of these guys. But they do have 10 picks as of right now.
Well, how many made it? Coleman, Bishop, Carter, you know, several of them did make it. Your top guys are always going to make it. You're not going to cut them out of camp, right?
Top guys, you're not going to. I'll give you the – here it is. Travis Clayton actually made the roster as the swing tackle.
Ray Davis.
I'm sorry, not Travis Clayton. Tylon Grable. Apologies. Tylon Grable made it as the swing tackle. Clayton was the international pathways guy who went on injured reserve.
Dan Pran, Jane Granger made the team.
Every one of them did except for Daquan Hardy did not.
Olofosio made the team.
Yep. Daquan Hardy did not and Travis Clayton did not.
Solomon.
So eight.
Do we do this or does Zach do this?
I can do it.
Let's talk to Glenn here. Hi, Glenn. Welcome.
Good afternoon, guys. I had an opportunity to watch the combine completely and was really impressed with the wide receivers coming out. Given that I understand the need for defensive line help and cornerback, could you see a scenario where, again, they go back to their first selection being a wide receiver?
This is a really interesting and good question, Glenn, that Matt Bove and I have debated a lot, and it's always game day in Buffalo. He is on the side of he thinks wide receiver is much more in play than I believe wide receiver is in play, Mike, with the first round pick. And here's why. I understand, and I would say, Glenn, that no doubt if there's a really good wide receiver, it could help this offense. But I think about how they operate and what they think about, Mike, which is I don't know where he's playing right away. And even though they need still like a speed guy, let's say, where is he? He's the fifth guy if he gets drafted now. Maybe fourth at best. I just don't see them doing that.
I can't see them using a late first on a receiver.
I can't either.
I don't think it's the year for it either.
No.
I mean, there are a couple of guys who are tempting, but doesn't sound to me like there's that much difference between certain second or third round options. I've decided Agreed. Who I like. Io Manner from Stanford. He's the one I like. So that might be round two at the earliest. I tend to doubt it. Everything about this, the history, the way the season ended up playing out, the draft class, the respective, everything points to defense.
Oh. Do you even know what this is from, Zach?
No, I'm just vibing.
This is... Josh, keep that up a little bit for a moment. This is the theme song for Knuckles the Echidna in Sonic Adventure for Sega Dreamcast. And now that you know what it is, it hits harder.
Yeah, it does. Inside joke there. It's fine. It's fine.
Happy Wednesday morning. We're halfway through the week. It's still super cold. I woke up with not snow on my car, but enough to make me mad. Enough to ruin my morning.
I got a picture from my parents this morning. They had an inch at their house.
So. Okay, that's a little too
like you couldn't see the grass.
Ooh, I get it's March. I do. Like I'm like the 69 degree day I get was like an anomaly.
It was a week ago, by the way.
It was a week ago.
Week ago today, by the way.
But come on. Come on.
No, we could, yeah, we go today. It was 69.
I want to pull out the shorts.
I know.
It's the fact that this is why spring is the most irritating season to me.
Oh, 100%.
Is because it's the teaser.
Mm-hmm.
You get a great weather day. You want to break out the shorts.
You do break out the shorts.
You do break out the shorts. And then you get a week of terrible, terrible weather, whether it's colder or it's rainy or it does the worst thing in the world and gives you the cold rain combo.
Oh, the cold rain combo.
And for any dog owner, it's muddy season.
Mm-hmm.
It is not spring. It's mud season.
It is mud season, 100%.
Especially when you have a beagle.
Yeah, yeah.
A diggy hole is her favorite thing to do.
Yep. See, I got a little chihuahua. He doesn't really dig.
Good. He's kind of like, I'm going to do my business, and I don't want to get dirty. I'm just going to get inside as quickly as possible.
Yeah. They're built different.
Used to have a pug, though. He was the opposite. He was going to rub his face into the ground immediately.
Yes.
And I was like, dude.
Diggy hole then also turns into bath time, and she hates that.
Well, of course, of course.
But she doesn't correlate one with the other, so.
Not yet.
Well, probably
never.
Yeah, no.
Probably never at this
probably
point.
Probably never.
Zach Jones, Derek Kramer here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show, brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com. We had a lot happen yesterday.
A lot happened yesterday.
We were prepared to come in, and we still are, to talk kind of the idea of trading up in the draft. We're now less than a month away from the start of the first round. It kind of feels like it's not April yet, but it sort of feels like we are in the final stretch of draft season. Teams are making their final moves to where it kind of sets up like, okay, what's going on? Teams having top 30 visits, what have you. And then Russell Wilson signed with the Giants. Mm-hmm. And you're like, okay, cool. Like Rodgers has Pittsburgh or retirement. Okay, interesting. Yes. And then Stephon Diggs signed a 3-year deal with New England. And it was like, oh! Okay.
And there's some mixed emotions that we are seeing from the Bills fandom on this. And I tend to agree with pretty much all of them. At this point with Stephon Diggs, whatever you're feeling about him, unless you get to overly mean and hateful, I'm probably going to end up ultimately agreeing with someone, no matter what it is. Because how do you force your way off of a Bills roster that is probably your best chance to win a Super Bowl, and then now 2 years later,
sign with the New England Patriots, who are not even close to ready.
No, they are very much far off.
The steak is still mooing. Put it back on the grill, not ready.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of people that probably felt shunned by Diggs in that sense alone are feeling a little confused, maybe. And that's me. I'm confused.
Mm-hmm.
Some people are probably angry about it. Some people are still salty about him leaving in the first place. Some people were already at, oh, he's dead to me, because of how he effectively forced his way out of here. I don't seem to understand
mm-hmm.
why he would choose New England. But then I look at the contract and go, that's why.
Yeah.
I just don't know why you did the thing first.
I think that was my immediate thought is I'm driving home, listening to the Sabres game, pulling into my driveway, and I just go check my phone, see if I missed anything. And it was right there. It was the first thing. I was like, oh, okay, three-year yeah. deal. $69 million, $26 million guaranteed. So it's the 69 is more the it's not the real number, right?
If he ends up there all 3 years, he's going to get that.
Yep,
but I doubt that that's going to be the case.
Exactly. It's quite a discrepancy between the two numbers. But $26 million, this late in free agency, coming off a torn ACL, 31 years old. I think for me, I immediately saw that. Number one, the moment the Bills were successful without Diggs, look, he's one of my favorite Bills of all time. I really don't care about the exit. As long as he didn't commit a crime, he's going to end it as one of my favorite Bills
he
of all time.
He should end it in a favorable note.
Yeah, especially if he doesn't trash the organization or the fans or what have you. And I haven't seen anything like that yet. If I missed it, please let me know. But he's going to end as one of my favorite Bills. I love the wide receiver position. It is my favorite position in sports to watch, to study, the whole thing. And he was kind of a NFL crush of mine before he was a Bill.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when he was with Minnesota, the 3-touchdown game against Philadelphia, I was always like, me and my brother, I will never forget both of us being like, the Bills need to get him. And the day they did.
You were probably doing backflips.
Oh, because it was late, and we both were like, dude. And it was a whole thing. It was exciting.
You were interning with us. You were doing backflips.
Yeah, I was having a blast. It was gone. It was awesome. And so like, he's always going to be that guy. Does it sour it a little bit that he's going to be on the Patriots? Yeah, of course it does. But I also know that 90s Bills fans had to go through this with a lot of their stars winding up on the Dolphins.
Mm-hmm.
Because they had jilted relationships with the organization. I don't think that's what this is. I think this is honestly a guy at the end of his career. I still yeah. stand by. If he does not tear his ACL, if he just has a solid season, I think the dream for him was to wind up in Dallas to play with his brother the last few years of his career. I think that was ultimately the goal or the dream.
Even at minimum, they probably could have reworked the deal, like how they reworked it after he was traded to Houston mm-hmm. to where it expires. He probably would have been okay with staying in Houston if he was healthy.
Yeah.
And for me, it's just more of, okay, you're gonna suffer a little bit, buddy.
He's going to. Look, Drake May is an exciting young quarterback.
He's an exciting young quarterback.
He'll probably get a lot of targets, especially early in the season.
They also still have that much work to do on the offensive line.
Yeah, they got a lot to do.
They have a lot to do. But this is also the second time, and hey, you know what? Credit to New England for this. The second time in this offseason that they overpaid a now former Bills wide receiver a lot of money.
You know why, though? This is also happening.
I don't want to say, like, a lot of money overpaid, but, like, Diggs got a nice contract mm-hmm. this late in free agency coming off of an ACL tear. Matt Collins is getting $8.2 million over 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
Why do you think he signed in New England? Well, I think that's why.
Yeah, I think ultimately it doesn't have to do anything with loyalty or what have you. It's a guy at the end of his career looking at, oh, I can get $26 million guaranteed.
Oh, yeah, no, I'm not worried about the loyalty aspect of it. I'm just more like, if you valued winning,
I think that's gone out the door.
I think it's because of that ACL tear.
I think that changed radically what his plans were. Because let's all remember what Houston looked like at this time last year when the Diggs trade happened.
They were
seen as an ascending team that had sort of figured it out. C.J. Stroud had one of the better rookie years we've ever seen. Jane Daniels outdoes him literally a year later. But at the time, Stroud's rookie year was seen as like, oh, crap.
Look out
like,
for the Houston Texans.
The Houston Texans have figured out. Now, did they kind of take advantage of a weak schedule? And we ultimately saw this year, they're not there yet. That offensive line was horrendous, and they kind of gutted it, too. But at the time...
Well, yeah, you should.
At the time, you could argue Diggs was maybe reading the tea leaves, ultimately wrong, and thought, that's my better opportunity to get a ring at the end of my career.
Correct.
Especially when the Bills were sort of drifting away as we saw, getting him the ball as much as they did. He was not as effective in this style of offense as he had been in previous iterations, especially under Dable.
And I'm starting to, now it's all coming together here, the last piece of the puzzle, to where now the confusion is kind of going away from you. I think all I needed to do was talk about it a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
It's about role. It always has been with him. And what happened when Joe Brady took over? Diggs' targets plummeted.
His role was diminished.
His role was, that's being nice.
Mm-hmm.
It was almost all but taken away from him at times. However, he was winning. But his role was not being fulfilled. When he left Minnesota, it was about role.
Yeah, Adam Thielen was kind of decided to be the one.
No, it was Mike Zimmer saying, we're going to run the football.
Mm.
Which, by the way, that means it's a second Cook brother that ultimately helps eschew him out of a team.
Yeah, I guess so. Oh, man.
Man.
That's tough. That's tough.
Now that I'm thinking about it, Stephon Diggs, he might have a real vendetta about the Cook brothers. Because that's how his roles were diminished, both in Minnesota and in Buffalo. If there's another Cook brother out there that's going to be playing running back, New England has the opportunity to do the funniest
thing
ever.
I don't think there's another
There's
one.
Not, but I just wanted
Maybe
to
a
say
cousin?
That. I just wanted to say it to be funny. New England has an opportunity to do the funniest thing ever. James Cook contract is expiring after next year.
Yeah, yeah.
Patriots, you do have the chance to do the funniest thing ever to Stephon Diggs.
803-0550, your thoughts on Stephon Diggs. I mean, we're going to get the return to Buffalo, too, which I actually am excited for.
Now, ready?
I don't have many thoughts in terms of does this hurt me to see? No, I think he's ultimately getting his bag at the end of his career. I am excited, though, to see him return to Buffalo.
Now, let me say this clearly. I don't know how much people will boo him when he comes here. What I do know is that it is going to happen a little bit. A smattering of boos of some sort.
Yep.
A la Jack Eichel when he first visited Buffalo with the Vegas Golden Knights. I do not expect Stephon Diggs to turn around into a microphone and go, huh, really? I don't expect that. I also do not expect him to trash the fan base.
I don't either. I will tell you, I think Diggs would flourish in a villain role.
Stephon Diggs absolutely would flourish in a villain role, but also say, I love this fan base too. Let's have some fun with it. He'll probably go do his run around the stadium, play catch with fans again.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And he'll be doing it in Buffalo for the first time since leaving. And some people will boo him, and he'll probably just give the little smirk, the little wave, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Little, how's your father?
Oh, man, yeah.
Like how he did with New England fans after Christmas.
That's the funny thing, is maybe the most beloved moment for Diggs as a Bill was his routine games against the Patriots, where he would embarrass them. I mean, Diggs was I mentioned a three-touchdown game with Minnesota. He had one with Buffalo where you've got, Belichick throwing the headset, and it was sort of this, I think for a lot of us, a euphoric moment of yeah, baby, now it's our time.
It was also the beginning of the end of J.C. Jackson.
Yeah, oh, yeah. Oh, wow.
Yeah, right. I remember that.
Torched by him. So, I mean, that's ultimately my thing is I don't have really any ill will towards Diggs.
No.
It helps that the Bills were themselves successful. But even then, if the Bills had a bad year last year and Diggs left, I'd have been more frustrated with the team than him. He would have read the tea leaves correctly.
Right, and again, I think I needed to talk my way out of my confusion there, but it had to do with role. In Houston, he was not the guy. He was never going to be the guy. That's probably why he renegotiated it to, hey, I'm out after this year.
Mm-hmm.
In New England, what's he going to be?
I mean, especially what's
with
their,
that receiving core?
Yeah, what's
he's
their,
the guy.
Their receiving room is obviously him, Matt Collins, two former Bills now, Kendrick Bourne, Pop Douglas, Jalen Polk, Kayshon Boutte, Javon Baker, if you want him, but he could not get on the field last year.
But also, not even just about getting on the field, about being the guy.
Yeah. He's going to be the guy next year for
Diggs
New England.
Diggs is the guy. He's back to being the guy. It's kind of what he's always wanted. And there you are.
Mm-hmm.
Happy to see it. In a sort of way of hey, you know what? You know what you want. You recognize what you want. You go and get what you want. I'm okay with it not being the Bills' problem anymore.
I think this
except for now two games of the year.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because the Bills don't have the greatest corner Well, not depth yet anymore.
We will see, though, come the draft. I'm very excited for the draft. I know me and Nate now are in lockstep of who maybe our favorite corner idea is.
You
for
guys
the Bills.
Are both kind of on Siobhan Revell at this
I've been
point.
On Revell for a little while. I always thought maybe second round guy. I think Nate's leaning more towards, like, if he's there 30, have a real conversation.
Nate took him in the mock draft earlier today that they did.
Have a real conversation, and I can understand that, especially after free agency. Corner is now maybe their biggest need, which alarms me that they weren't able to do more. But
I still say safety should be high up there as
safety,
well.
Safety. The problem I'm going to have with this, we'll talk more about this, you know, the rest of this
we've
week,
got,
next week.
We've got, what, we've got a whole month?
And I've said this really since I've been on air here in Buffalo, is that I am very stingy on positional value when it comes to the draft. Like, I won't trade up for really any major trade up for anything but quarterback and maybe edge rusher, because those can change games. If you get a guy that's going to average 15 sacks a game, you go make that trade.
Yes.
Or 15 sacks a season, you go make that trade. If you're going to get a quarterback that, as we see, changes the temperature in the room of your organization, you go make that trade. I certainly won't do that for quarterback, safety, wide receiver. And to that point, cornerback and safeties,
you
usually get them in the second, third round. And get legitimate NFL starters pretty darn early. Now, there's always the examples of a Kyle Hamilton who goes in the top 20, and he has changed Baltimore's defense, and they didn't even need a safety.
Right.
I don't necessarily think there is one of those guys this year. I know a lot of people like Nick Emmanuel out of South Carolina. To me, I like him a lot.
Mm-hmm.
There is some.
I like him more.
Yeah, I know you do. Because for me, there are some fears that, is he just a great athlete rather than a great safety? Where I like Watts out of Notre Dame a lot more for maybe the Bills system.
So the last thing on the draft before we circle back to Diggs, if there's someone that can get Nick Emmanuel proper safety technique, it's probably the guy who played safety in college ball.
Probably. Probably. I mean, that's the thing, too.
I have 100% faith that Sean McDermott will help teach the right techniques and his coaching staff to Nick Emmanuel.
Outside of Elam, honestly, outside of Kyer Elam, the Bills with the secondary as a whole, you can kind of put your trust in them. That's a big miss, no doubt. But they've made a ton of other guys NFL players as late round. Jamarcus Ingram is an NFL cornerback. He may not start for you. He's a wonderful depth piece to have, and in a pinch, we saw it last year. When they needed him to perform in a small sample size, he was great. Now, once that sample size grew, it was like, okay. But he's an undrafted guy out of UB. You got to like that. So
Cam Lewis is this hybrid corner safety player. Like, there's a lot to it. So.
Yep. But so for me, positional value, it's going to be tough for me to like go trade up for safety. No. Defensive tackle, I'm willing to do a small trade up for a guy like Kenneth Grant, and we all know how I feel about Grant. That's my guy.
That's your guy.
I don't know if he's going to be there at 30. I've kind of talked about it. I don't actually think the Bills will pick at 30, and there's a good chance they probably pick within 25 to that point, just the small trade ups, what have you, to make sure a team like Kansas City doesn't jump ahead of them. They also have needs on the defensive line.
I'm still, once again, going to say it. Do not worry about what another team is going to do. Just do what you're going to do to be better.
I agree.
That's the Xavier Worthy trade nonsense all over again.
I agree, but there is going to be a thought process, I think, for some in the Bills brass.
I'm telling people, the Bills don't care about that. They don't.
I think there's some people in the Bills brass that are going like, guys, they keep getting us.
I would imagine.
They keep getting us.
I would imagine the general manager is not worried about that.
I'm not saying he should.
No,
I'm saying he should maybe think about it.
No, because then you're not an NFL general manager.
Well, no, right. It's the old saying that once you start listening to the fans, you're out.
I was consistent about this last year. I'm going to say it again. I don't care about what the Kansas City Chiefs do. Do not. 0% care.
It's fair.
0%. My guy.
I will tell you, if they leave them to take Kenneth Grant, I'm going to be emotional. I'm going to be a wreck.
You know what's actually going to like upset me with the Kansas City Chiefs? If they somehow get like the best offensive tackle in this draft class all the way at pick 31.
It's not a good tackle class, though.
Ready? That's my point.
Yeah, it's not a good tackle class.
There's nothing they can do to me this year that's going to go like, oh, they actually cooked here. No.
No. I don't really want to see Calvin Banks there. He'd tackle for Texas. I like him a lot. Obviously not for the Bills, but it's like, I don't want another Texas player to go there. Like, this is getting difficult for me.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
I didn't want Worthy for the Bills, but I loved Worthy for Texas.
Right.
And I was like, I don't want him to suck. I don't want this. Yes. I want to be good. It's the same with, like, I've seen Matthew Golden at times be mocked to Kansas City because, oh boy, do they have some issues at wide receiver in terms of potential availability. I'm like, I think he'll be good. I don't want him to be bad because he goes to Kansas City.
And finally, this is just this, like, I don't need to relive the anger that everyone was putting out last year and the despair. It's been 12 months. We're okay. As a matter of fact, I would just more or less worry about what this team does for restructuring its defense.
Yeah, because that, oh man. I'm excited.
That Xavier Worthy didn't necessarily torch. He had one drive.
I was going to say, the one drive, though, was alarming.
He had one drive. It was scripted for him. He had that one drive. Don't you worry about it. I remember. But it's not like he is this consistent 1,500-yard receiver upcoming here.
Yeah, it's not like he had the rookie year of, say, a Brian Thomas Jr. for Jacksonville.
And I do know part of that has to do with Patrick Mahomes missing on a lot of throws. But how do you manage to overthrow that?
Yeah, fair. Fair. 803-0550, the number to call. We started today talking about Stephon Diggs signing a three-year, $69 million deal, $26 million guaranteed with the New England Patriots. And we now go to the phones. We'll start today with Cleveland on the line. Cleveland, how are we doing today?
How you doing? I guess I got like a two-part question for you guys. First and foremost, I don't think really Diggs. I think Diggs kind of got a worse rep on his way out than he should have because of his social media. I don't think his social media things were that bad. I think it was more of, for me personally, the information that came out that said that he seeked a trade because he didn't think that the current build of the team could beat Kansas City. And on his way out, he has the biggest drop of his career, which could have beat Kansas City. So I was kind of more upset about that part. So my first question about that is, maybe I'm missing something, but 3 years, $69 million, and I'm happy he got his money. I don't want to count anyone's pockets, but I think they're overpaying. I don't know what they're thinking. I don't think he's $33 million. So I wonder. I would ask you guys, what would you guys think he would be worth if he came back to the Bills? What would you guys think a fair contract for him would be if he were to come back to the Bills? And secondly, I heard one of you guys say that you like Kenneth Grant. I keep hearing Kenneth Grant. That's cool. I'm cool with that. But there's a guy from Tennessee named Elijah Simmons, 6'4", 330.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. What would you think if we can get him in a second round and maybe picked up a stud defensive back in the first round?
That works for me. I'm the big Kenneth Grant guy, Cleveland. Thanks for the call, man. That works for me. However this works out, there's like three positions that would bother me in round one. You
Real
got
quick,
something?
I just, because he said Elijah Simmons,
mm-hmm.
Got to get curious. You got to look at things.
Of course.
You want a one technique that
he's the guy.
That's tough to move. How about 340?
Well,
6'2", 340.
So on that point, before we get out of here, me and Nate Geary were talking about that too, with the idea that there's going to be space heaters, which is sort of what the Bills need.
You said it's how deep this class
is. Yeah, later in the draft. I'd be cool with that, especially if they go and get, let's say a Jahdae Barron falls to 25 and the Bills trade up a little bit to go get him. Perfect. Or to what Nate wants to do, Siobhan Revelle out of ECU. They go get him. Perfect. And then they go get a defensive tackle
around
two. Say
they sit at 30. I mean, Warrior is there.
Great. I'm happy. Again, there's like three, four positions that are going to bother me. If they take a tackle, a guard, a tight end, a quarterback, like those are going to be the positions that make me mad. Everything else, I'm probably pretty good.
And you look at a player like Elijah Simmons and it's like, this is exactly what we want right now,
right.
Ladies and gentlemen. Someone who can't be moved.
Yeah, space eater that opens
space
up.
Space eater opens up Ed Oliver, opens up your linebackers.
Bingo.
Give me that beef wagon.
Beef wagon. That's ultimately what I want in the first round most, because I think the high-end talent for this defensive tackle class is worth attacking.
It doesn't have to be first round.
But it doesn't have to be first round.
It has to just be addressing the need.
Mm-hmm.
That's the main point of it. And our dinky little train, it's also departing the station.
On the second point, Cleveland, I do want to mention this too. I do think New England's desperate. Because of what happened to the receiver market very early in free agency. T. Higgins stays with Cincinnati.
Right.
They franchise tag him. And also, quietly, Darius Slayton re-signs with the Giants. I think there was a lot of hope there for Patriots fans that they were going to be able to get one of Higgins, Slayton, some of these other guys. And instead, it falls apart rapidly. And so, yeah, they had to go pay $8 million per year for Mac Hollins, you know, $26 million guaranteed.
$8 million total for Mac Hollins.
$8 million total, thank you. And then $26 guaranteed for Diggs. They kind of had to do this because that receiver room with such a young quarterback who showed a ton of promise in Drake May, you've got to improve, maybe not rapidly, but steadily. And they were looking at not doing that.
I will say New England paid exactly what they needed to get him.
I also do think they're going to get Travis Hunter as well.
If they manage to get a player that is healthy again,
mm-hmm.
even if he is, call it 80% of what he was, that's a reliable target for Drake May.
Yeah.
And as Stephon Diggs' arrival did help a young Josh Allen form into the world ender that he is today,
the idea is
you do the same thing. And there's not many ways that you're supposed to copy the Buffalo Bills as a blueprint, but New England's doing it in a somewhat correct way. They go ahead and say, oh, we're not going to start Drake May right away. We're not going to have him get thrown to the wolves, which is what the Bills wanted to do with Josh Allen. It was just they chose the wrong guy to lead that.
Yeah.
And now, hey, not a bad idea. Throwing in a couple of Bills receivers because that's hurt you over the years.
Mm-hmm.
Why not? And, oh, you also have the cap space to play with.
Yeah, you have a ton of cap space and you have the
need.
Too
much cap space to play
with. Like you brought up, he's a reliable guy for May to kind of continue to progress his career. And again, I think they're going to add somebody like maybe a Travis Hunter who...
That's right, they pick fourth.
That might be one of the few organizations that might be willing to let him play both positions. I don't know how much of an appetite most of the NFL has to do that. I think they want just the best out of a guy at a certain position.
I don't know. Vrabel's a no-nonsense dude.
Vrabel's no-nonsense, but I think with you need talent, I think that's where Hunter could maybe, I'm going to play a little bit of receiver. Now, in terms of Cleveland's other point, too, like what would we give Diggs if he were to return for the Bills? 31 coming off an ACL tear, 1 year, maybe $8
million. Yeah, you're probably looking at,
I don't even necessarily think he fits the current roster anyways.
Yeah, no.
But that would probably be about it.
Yeah.
And maybe $8 million is a bit rich.
Yeah.
But that would be about it.
And I do think it ultimately had to do with role. He would be coming back here. He wouldn't be the guy.
Yeah.
So, I was playing around with a mock draft during the break. And do you have a go-to site that you do this with?
I've been using the Pro Football Network one.
Okay. I use the Pro Football Focus one.
Okay.
Because you can slow it down however you want. They mm-hmm. they offer you trades. You can offer trades. Yep. And it gives you like percentage of trade acceptance. So I literally stopped after the number one pick. Because if I were Cleveland, I really don't know what I would do. I really don't know what I would do if I were Cleveland. Like Jonathan Peterlin, who we had on earlier, he's got an opinion. He wants them to pick Sanders.
Yeah.
Pick the quarterback. He even said his co-host has an opinion. Doesn't want Sanders. Don't pick a quarterback. Mm. I have no idea what I would want them to do if I were in Cleveland.
If I was a Cleveland fan, I don't know that what I would want is I would have wanted the head coach and general manager fired. But
yeah.
To even just start this off. Because I guess if I were a Cleveland Browns fan, I don't know that I would want these guys selecting a quarterback. Like... I don't know if I would want them to pick a quarterback. Like, do you feel good about Andrew Berry being in year six and not having built really a winner or a consistent winner or a contender to pick the quarterback when I think he's probably going to be gone?
That's right. If you're allowing him to pick this quarterback, knowing if you win five games, he's getting fired, then why are you letting him pick the quarterback?
Yeah.
Which is why is he employed in the first place?
Right.
So, I get that.
We're asking good questions here.
But, I'm picking two? Well, I guess if you're bad, you should expect to be at the top of the draft again next year. So, maybe it's not that different. It wouldn't be Sanders for me, though. Like, I might talk myself into Dart. I'd have to do more work on him. But, I'm not a Shedeur Sanders guy. It has nothing to do with his personality or whatever. I just don't think... A quarterback that has limited athleticism, that takes as many sacks as he does, and doesn't have a very strong arm, is where I want to be putting my chips in as an NFL franchise. So Here, let's play this out. I got it open. Pro Football Focus. I got the mock draft open. Give us some football music. Let's go and see what they're going to do. We'll get to the Bills. How will this play out? Were the Bills picking at 30? So, the Browns take Travis Hunter.
That's what you want? That's what you're gonna do here?
No, that's what their PFF is simulating.
Okay.
So what do the Giants do at 3 then?
Giants take Sanders.
Giants take Abdul Carter. The Patriots take Jahdae Barron, corner from Texas. Wow. That's really high for him, isn't it?
Yeah.
There's a little bit of randomness to this.
Yeah.
There's a random meter, actually. You can move it. I put it at like a third. All right. We've got the Jaguars taking an offensive lineman. Ahmed Membo at number 5
Missouri.
Overall.
Missouri. Yep.
Raiders. What would you have the Raiders doing?
Genty.
Ashton Genty is the pick. Yep. Pete Carroll loves investing in running backs.
He sure does.
That also, for fantasy, is that his best spot? No. Dallas.
Fantasy?
Dallas would be his best spot.
I might argue Chicago's the best spot. Fantasy. But.
Okay, yes. I like that one, too. All three would be pretty good because he'd be the clear number one starter. All right, number 7, the Jets take Shedeur Sanders. Number 7. Is quarterback still that live for them in the draft after they sign Fields? I guess it could be.
They didn't sign him. Have their quarterback of the future on the roster.
They only signed him to a 2-year deal, right? And it wouldn't be much to bench him.
No.
If he had 5 terrible games at the start.
It wouldn't be anything really to bench him. No.
Okay. Yeah. So Sanders to the Jets at number 7. Carolina picks Tyler Warren, tight end from Penn State at number 8.
Okay.
He's a weird prospect, isn't he?
Yes, he is. He's mocked all over the place.
Yeah, but he's not like a traditional tight end. He's dangerous, but I don't know.
He is not.
He's lined up at fullback maybe a lot, but he like runs routes from there. He runs routes from everywhere. So I don't know. I don't know how to judge him yet.
Me either.
Read more about him. Not that the reason I haven't is he's a tight end and the Bills are, you know, obviously not doing that. Will Campbell, tackle, goes to the Saints at number 9.
Okay.
Mason Graham, defensive lineman, to the Bears at number 10. San Francisco picks a linebacker, Jahad Campbell at 11.
Okay.
Ooh, little early for this pick, but may I present to you an organization that would pick a guy that is going to go 15 picks above them? Because I now believe that they are one of the most foolish organizations in the league, the way they're run.
Who are we on?
Dallas at number 12.
Who they're taking?
Yeah.
Okay. It's got to be... It's got to be kind of controversial
yes.
if you're talking about it here.
I think if this happened on draft day, everybody would go, already?
O'Marian Hampton?
No.
Is it the tight end from Michigan?
No. It's a receiver.
Are they going to take Matt Golden over?
Matthew Golden.
They took him over McMillan?
At number 12.
Okay.
Most, I normally see him at the end of the first round, sometimes early second round.
I could see them falling in love with his speed, though.
All right, so number 12. Right. If there's ever a player that does go 15 picks before he should, isn't it always a speed receiver?
Mm-hmm.
So Matthew Golden goes at number 12. The Dolphins at number 13 take Tet McMillan, the receiver
from
Arizona.
I would love nothing more than the Dolphins to take another receiver, a boundary receiver. Like, I would pay good money for that. Good money.
Yeah, he's going to be the third target in their offense, their first-round pick. That
Please.
Would definitely signal that they're going into the final year with Tyreek Hill. They're not the same player at
all. It would also signal
same position.
That they do not care about the health of their quarterback whatsoever.
Yeah. Mike Green, an edge rusher, goes to the Colts at number 14.
Marshall, good player.
Will Johnson, corner from Michigan, number 15 to Atlanta.
Okay.
Here's where I'm going to have to start learning how to pronounce some of these guys. Donovan. I'm going to try this one out. Ezekiel. No. I couldn't even make it halfway through.
Aziraku.
Thank you.
That's a best guess.
Boston College. That sounds right. That's 16. That is Arizona. Edge rusher. Then Cincinnati on the clock at 17. Jalon Walker. From Georgia, linebacker. Shamir Stewart, an edge rusher from Texas A&M to Seattle at 18. How do you like how this board's playing out so far? A lot of edge rushers, a lot of defensive linemen.
Yeah.
But,
we're at 18
both
right
receivers
now?
Off the board.
We're at 18?
We're at We're at 19.
We're at 19, Tampa. And that's Tampa.
Tampa, just Denver, curious. Pittsburgh.
What's it cost to get there?
To get to 19,
yeah, from
hold
30.
On. Oh, sorry, we're at 21.
21, hold even on. Better.
So, Mykel Williams and Ed Drusher went to Tampa,
okay.
Georgia. And then Amika Ogbuka,
okay.
Receiver from Ohio State, goes to Denver. So, you want to know what it costs to get to 21?
I do.
All right. What do you want to give up? We're making an offer. We're calling Pittsburgh. Omar Khan, we're on the phone.
Let's see if we could get away with...
30's got to be involved. You're trading up,
30?
Right?
Was it 62? Is there
62 is their last second round
30,
pick.
30, 62, and like a third next year.
So
could that get you there?
Before I even put the third in.
Yep.
PFF tells me when I put 30 and 62, the bar goes all the way up in green and says this trade will likely be accepted.
All right, well then put in like a sixth in return, even though I don't need another sixth round pick.
Or do you want to just do next year's third?
Try next year's. No, you're gonna need
that. It's 75% full and says this. Well, actually 80. It says this trade is an 80% chance to be accepted.
I don't think in reality anyone's moving up in this draft, moving back in this draft without draft picks.
Let me ask you. Okay, so where are the Bills here? You're sitting at 30, and here comes 21. The boards fell the way it has.
Yep.
Three receivers are off the board. A bunch of edge rushers. What are you trading up for?
Corner.
Corner.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Here, I'm going to offer first, third next year, and the Bills' first fourth-round pick this year.
And this is for, to me, Siobhan Revelle from East Carolina. That's the move up I'm looking at here.
Okay. I'm going to offer 30, 109, and next year's third.
Okay. That feels like a very cheap, but...
You want to throw a player in along the way?
No. It feels cheap, but if they're going to accept it, then let's take what they're going to give us here.
They are taking it.
Okay.
So we're on the clock now at 21.
Yeah, give me Siobhan Revelle.
All right. Let me go to corner
East
here.
East Carolina.
They're going to give us an A on that, we think. So they have two corners ranked ahead of him.
Who do they got?
Trey Amos from Mississippi.
Okay.
And Maxwell Hairston from Kentucky. You still want to go Siobhan Revelle?
Yeah, I still want Revelle.
All right. We're drafting Siobhan Revelle. And there he is. East Carolina. Bills take him at 21. We're going to like if they trade up for a corner.
Yeah.
If you keep your day two picks.
Say less.
We miss then Josh Simmons to tackle. Ohio State goes to L.A. Kelvin Banks tackle to Green Bay. There was a tackle run immediately after. There goes Kenneth Grant. To Minnesota.
Yep.
Ooh, Omarion Hampton to Washington at number 29.
Whoa.
I like that.
They have Brian Robinson and Austin Eckler still.
Yeah.
That wouldn't make a lot of sense.
All right, so corner.
Yeah.
And trading up for a corner. They're probably... We got a D, by the way, for that pick.
Hmm.
Because on the PFF big board, he's 43rd. But... We didn't give up much to get it.
To me, he tops the second tier of corners right behind, you know, Hunter. And these are boundary corners.
Yeah.
See, like, some of these corners that are listed ahead of him are going to play slot in the NFL. Like.
Yeah, in this mock, he was the two.
Like, Barron.
The third corner off the board.
Jadae Barron from Texas, slot.
Yeah.
Maxwell Harrison, slot. Thomas from Florida State, slot. So, to me... There's four worthy boundary corners you could take in the top 50 in this draft. It's Hunter, it's Will Johnson, it's Revelle, and Amos. I really like Benjamin Morrison, too. I think he can be right up there.
Yeah.
The thing that I like about this kid from East Carolina is he's 6'2", long arms.
Yeah.
He can play press. He can play zone, ball hawk type of... Like, to me, he's got huge upside. To me, that'd be a home run. I think it's like the perfect type of corner for Sean McDermott's defense on the other side of Christian Bedford.
803-0550 is the phone number. Sean in Buffalo wants to get in on trading up. What's up, Sean?
Really quick, I just want to know if this works. Thanks, guys. The Bills offer James Cook in a sign and trade. This year's first, one of the seconds, and next year's first. Does that get them in the top 10 this year?
Who are you trying to get, Travis Hunter? Let's see.
Read my mind, right? I mean, I would take anybody. If Bean pulled that off, I would take anybody they picked and I would just trust. I would like trust in the process, kind of thing. But I mean, is that like, does that make sense? To
would the Raiders
AI?
Do that?
You want to trade? I'll put it in for you. 30. You want to trade the first round pick, 30th.
Yeah. Next year's first, if necessary, and then the second round pick, one of them from this year.
And then James Cook.
And James Cook.
And a sign and trade. Yeah.
Okay. You can put players into this. So I'm putting James Cook in.
Would the Raiders do that?
Somebody would.
I offered it to Carolina. It says it will likely be accepted. The
Jets, what, eight,
I
nine?
Here. That's it. Would Tennessee take? I think Tennessee would take that deal because they love to run the ball.
No, they won't move back out of one, though. I don't think there's a way they could get to one.
Okay, so here, this is interesting how PFF, I'm sure they work off one of the value charts for mm-hmm. this. I don't know, they must assign a value to Cook. If you put the trade in for the Giants at number 3, Pro Football Focus says it has a 32% chance of being accepted. But when I offer it to New England, it says this trade will likely be accepted. It's almost all the way up. So
where's New England pick?
4.
Oh my gosh. All right, that's what I needed to hear. That's what I need. Now hope springs eternal. Thank you, guys.
Thanks, Sean. In reality, though, I think they're probably giving a little credit, too much credit, to some of these picks. I don't think that is even if the Bills wanted to be would you call that reckless? I might call it reckless, the amount they would be giving up. But whatever, sometimes reckless is good. You want to be reckless and give up 2 firsts, a second, and your running back to go to 4. I don't think New England is saying yes to that.
New England
in any real world.
New England wouldn't trade.
I don't think anybody is moving down to 30 for almost anything.
And I would tell you New England wouldn't do that, especially because they're salty at the Bills for last year's draft. Not trading with them and trading with Kansas City.
Maybe they wanted, they wanted the pick where Carolina was.
Yeah, they're salty.
Because they wanted a receiver. They probably wanted Leggett,
yeah.
I think, was the thing. Or the story.
So
They're not moving. Listen, it's fun to think about. It's fun to dream about if Travis Hunter was a Bill. I love it for content purposes mm-hmm. and because he's amazing. They're not getting him. They're not getting anywhere near the top 10. And, you know, you moved up 9 spots in this.
Yes.
That's one thing. Last year, I became obsessed with the idea of getting into the top 10 for one of the big 3 receivers.
Yeah.
There's not an idea to me this year that screams out, oh, I got to go give out everything to get into the top 10.
Yeah.
Unless you want, like you did it for a corner. The next tier up corner, like you want to do that for Will Johnson out of Michigan? You want to give up multiple first round picks to go get a corner in the top 10?
Yeah, I don't know.
I'm not into that idea.
I'd be willing to give up one of the seconds and a move up in the first round.
Yep. It's I don't know. They probably will trade up because they often do trade up. But I'm not seeing the idea that screams out to me, you know,
go get him.
Yeah. It would be an edge rusher. And I'm not getting Abdul Carter. So, you know, I'm at the next level of what? Jihad Campbell from Alabama or one of these guys, you know. There's an idea for you. I would at that point just rather sit at 30, make a smaller move up to like 25 and do that instead. But good question. 803-0550 is the phone number. The draft is under 1 month away. The quarterback carousel is a little bit more set in place now that the Giants have Russell Wilson, which means the Browns won't get Russell Wilson, which means that the Steelers are going to get Aaron Rodgers unless he retires, and then unless they'll be nowhere. So there is still a little bit to be figured out, but we're almost there on figuring out who all the quarterbacks are going to be going into the start of the season.
All right, back here on One Bills Live, Chris Brown, Steve Tasker, asking you, what offseason move do you believe holds the greatest potential for the Bills in 2025?
I had some pretty good calls today.
Yeah, and we've got more waiting, Steve.
All right, then I'll shut up. Go ahead. Get to the important stuff.
Go to Bill in Old Forge next. What's up, Bill?
Hey, guys, I'm going to piggyback on what like Judy and that guy Cleveland said. There's nothing wrong with the team. Team's great. Coaching's great. Are we going to win a bunch of games? Of course we are. We're that good. Allen's great. To me, Bean's questionable. His drafting, that's my opinion. I don't think he's been drafting that well, especially in the first 2 rounds since he's been here. We draft good players, not great ones. Then you look at guys you could have gotten or moves he's made, trading down and all this. to me, it hasn't worked out in the long run. But to not want to have a number one guy, I mean a number one guy, through the history of the league. You can go Kelly Andre Reed, Aikman Irvin, McNabb, T.O. I mean, every Super Bowl champion, Montana Rice, they usually had that guy that the star Hall of Fame quarterback was throwing to for the majority of time he was here. Brady didn't have it. Rodgers didn't have it. You know, some guys never had that in their career, and they still played good, and that would be Allen. But a lot of these guys did have a guy. Steve Young had Rice. The list goes on. The history of the game. Bradshaw had Swan. Right now, you've got Ja'Marr Chase with Burrow. They're giving him a guy. They're actually giving him two guys. CeeDee Lamb with Prescott. A lot of these guys do have a guy, and we don't. And even Pittsburgh grabbing Metcalf, they're trying to get a guy without having a quarterback. So I'd hate to see – I'm not one of those guys that said we're wasting Allen's career. There's no way. The team is great. Coaching is great. They're an awesome team. I'll never say that. This team's great. I love it. I love what they do, everything about it. But would I like to see a guy with Allen while he's still in his prime? Heck yeah, I would, because you could score 40 points a game, and that's fine. Why not score 50 a game? Maybe that is the thing that gets us to the Super Bowl, maybe even win a Super Bowl, that one player. Yeah. We don't know unless you try. And I always think when you got a quarterback like him, it helps the most to have that guy to throw to. And I would use Burrow and Ja'Marr Chase as the best example for me within the league now. Those two guys. I don't think you ever stop trying to do it. Yeah, you need defensive help and all that, but I would love to see Allen with a guy. And if everything he eats, that means you got a bunch of just average guys. I would like to have a guy.
Yeah. I get you. And I'll say this. I want Ja'Marr Chase, right? Just like everybody. And I'll throw my, you know, your favorite player, you know, I'll throw another guy in. You can throw him into the tree grinder. That's fine. You know what I mean? Listen, I want that guy. Yes. The point we're making is at this point, when you're trying to build your team and you got a draft coming up, you're not picking that guy on the board. You're picking a guy at another position because, I mean, look at, y'all use your example, Joe Burrow and Ja'Marr Chase and T. Higgins. They stunk last year. Their team stunk because they had everything you could possibly want.
They didn't have a defense at all.
They didn't have anybody. They scored 30 points a game. They couldn't win. The reason we scored 30 points in one is because our defense got turnovers. Are you going to put all your eggs in that turnover basket again? You got to try and get better.
I mean,
because they were doing
Eagles.
It.
Why did the Eagles win a Super Bowl? Their defense pretty damn good.
Really good.
Best in the league.
So I get it, and I don't know why everybody. And I guess the conversation is going that way because we've got to bring it up. I am not against a number one wide receiver. I'm just against.
It's not priority one right now.
That's not high on the list now. It's always on the list. Absolutely. You always want a bigger, better, faster, you know, Calvin Johnson type guy. Like, get me one of those. Yes, of course. But not in this draft. Not at the top. Not in the first three picks. And if you get down past the first three picks. Well, I don't know if you're going to get that guy. Yeah. That's my point.
If the board falls, like I said earlier, if the board somehow falls a certain way and somebody like a Matthew Golden falls in your lap, okay, I make the pick. Totally fine with that. I don't think that's going to happen. And to me, the more pressing priorities are on the defensive side of the ball. I mean, the problem for this team is not scoring points. It's keeping other teams off the scoreboard because you can't get off the field on third down. And, you know, your red zone defense was, what the heck was it? It was middle of the pack. I mean, they're giving up touchdowns almost 58% of the time.
I mean, I'll just look at one random website. I'll just give their – this is a draft kind of website. It's and I can't remember. I can't pronounce some of the names. Tatorio McMillan, wide receiver from Arizona. 6'5", 212, runs a 4.55. Matthew Golden from Texas. Luther Burden III from
Missouri.
Missouri. Emeka Egbuka from Ohio State. Trey Harris from Ole Miss. Eric Iamanor from Stanford, I believe.
Yes.
Jalen Royals. Xavier,
yeah, now you're into like the
Restrepo.
Bottom of the second,
now
that's, or early
that's
third
eight
round.
Guys deep.
It's not a strong class.
You know, that's what you're looking at. And I don't know that I can be as enamored with any of those guys as I would be with even the top guy on the list. the 6'5", 212 kid that runs a 4.55. If I had him a choice between him and Abdul Carter, you take Abdul Carter. It's not always the case in these drafts.
Yeah.
You might take the wide out before you take the pass rusher. I'd almost take the top corner than any of these guys. You really need – they need a game wrecker on that side of the ball. Bosa might be it.
But he's only here for 1 year.
Even so. I mean, let's just make it as good as we can this year. That's fine. If Bosa comes in and is a wrecking crew, awesome.
Yeah. Let's go to Justin in Oneonta. What's up, Justin?
Afternoon, guys. You kind of took the wind out of my sails. I'm banging that defensive drum. Hearing everyone talk about wide receivers is like that SNL skit with Christopher Walken. I got a fever and I need more cowbell. Like, more receivers isn't the answer, right? Like, you said it multiple times, we set the scoring record. Like, we were amazing on offense. I have nightmares of Elam tripping over himself against the Chiefs. Like, we need to address the defense. Eagles proved it's the D-line. A couple of callers ago mentioned, like, going to a 4-3. Would we move Taron Johnson out to the outside then, or would he be stuck primarily slot, I guess?
Well, the way everything's structured now, there's nobody else to play out the other side. It's either, you know. I don't know whether if they'd take Taron off or take maybe, like, what, Dane Jackson off the field and put Taron outside instead if they went to a two-cornerback set, a true traditional 4-3, you know, four down linemen, three linebackers, four defensive backs, two corners, two safeties. You know, it becomes a numbers game and a matchup game, and I don't know how they would do it. It's been a while since we've seen them do that. So, and plus, we don't even know how their roster is going to look at the end of it. But, yeah, I leave that to the coaches and the X's and O's guys who watch film and study and know the limitations and the strengths and weaknesses of their own guys and can give some assessment of the opponent's strengths and weaknesses and how to match those. That's a week-to-week thing in the league. I'm not saying they'd do it every week or all the time, but if they did it really, really well, you can bet you'd see it a lot against a lot of teams. So right now they don't have that in their – they don't do that very much because they don't have any faith in it or faith in their players that they could do that or that that's the best way. So when that changes, you can bet it'll change in a heartbeat. But for right now, Taron Johnson and his ability to compete as a nickel in the run game is part and parcel of why they have been able to run their defense the way they have. Now, you can make a case that they need to run it differently because of the way they had the struggles they had last year. Maybe they will. But Taron Johnson's been a guy they do not want to take off the field for anybody.
Let's go to Mark in West Seneca here. What do you got, Mark?
Hey, guys. Here we are again. Every time at this time of year, I feel like it's deja vu all over again. It's with this receiver stuff. First of all, I love Judy, but her argument has a basic hole in it right from the beginning. Arguing we need a guy to go down the field, take the top off, and make big plays, and then hold on to the ball. Well, if you shorten the field and you make big plays, you're typically going to be on the field less time, and you won't be holding the ball 40 minutes a game. So that just doesn't make any sense on its face value, that alone. Secondly, did we not have a top five receiver here in his prime for 3-4 years? From what I can remember, we had our fair share of games where we couldn't get the ball to that guy in games because of what defenses were doing. It's not an automatic we're going to move the ball and score 45 points a game. Secondly, it would be, to me, a change in strategy. If you have a number one, and I'm not arguing against the number one receiver, I just think that they've got to think of all these things before they make a move like this. You got a guy that's demanding the ball just because of his pure ability and skill. That's going to be a change in strategy because, as far as I'm concerned right now, the strength of this offense is that we have so many multiple weapons with above-average skill, and we have a offensive coordinator who's very adept at moving those pieces around, getting them positioned to make plays and score points. And then there's going to be a shift in what you're going to do if you're now concentrating on getting the ball, 30, 40% of the time to your number one receiver. So, I think we could use that eventually. And then lastly, yep. I love when all these people bring up, well, we need a number one guy. We need a guy like Chase. We need a guy like Jefferson. Has everybody forgotten where we've been picking for 5 years?
Yeah. And, Mark, I'm sorry. We're up against the break here, so I got to let you go. But thanks for the call. And, yeah, I mean, they had a number one receiver here, an alpha male in Stephon Diggs for 4 years. He was ultra productive. The offense was productive. The defense, you could argue, was even better in terms of front-to-back talent-wise. And that didn't get him over the hump either. So there's no guarantee if you do get a number one receiver.